Let's see. So I then said, would you like to look at your breathing? We'll look at your carbon dioxide while you're breathing. And she said, oh, one other thing she said to me, she said, I said, how long does this last? Do you know, by dinner time, are you still suffering with the problem? And she said, no. I said, well, what makes the difference? She said, I go and I do a workout at the end of every day. When I do my workout, I feel great. And I said, you mean to tell me that you're at home and you can't get enough oxygen, but when you go to the gym and you start working out, then you can get enough oxygen? That's kind of interesting. That you can get more oxygen when you're working out than when you're sitting. So she found that rather interesting, and she pointed out to me that, maybe what I should do when I have this problem is just go to the gym. Okay, so it's a different trigger of a different habit. So I sat her down, we were working with a capnometer, and I said, would you want to do a little work with me? We'll have you overbreathe a little bit and see where it takes us. She said, sure. So I worked with her and I got her CO2 down to what we call a moderately low level. And suddenly she bursts out and says, this is exactly what happens to me, and I'm not going to be able to get out of this for the rest of the day, she said. I said, now, wait a minute. You're going to be okay. We always give people positive feedback. You did a great job getting down here to this low level. And she said, well, I did exactly what you told me to do. And I said, well, I told you to do what you told me you do when you're trying to deal with the problem, and that is to take larger breaths. Isn't that true? She said, my God, I can't believe it. What I've been doing at home is what you just coached me into doing, and I had exactly the same response. So then I worked with her to get the level up, which we haven't talked about, but to get the level up, and I got it up, and she said to me what I mentioned earlier, I can't believe that hardly breathing at all solved my problem. She couldn't believe it. And then she understood why her friend never found a CO2 problem, because her friend just hooked her up, connected her, and measured her CO2 level as if that's her CO2 level, when breathing is regulated by habits, you see. So these different habits occur at different times. When her friend measured it, she wasn't, the trigger wasn't present. She wasn't eating. It's all about eating.
So that's a great illustration. And some people might be skeptical and say, well, you just pulled one of his hat from 50 years ago or 30 years ago. But no, I've seen you do this in new scenarios where the advisors you're teaching to learn this skill bring in their clients, and you help them learn how to do the interview and identify the same thing in almost identical circumstances, and it's some novel awareness that they had no clue was triggering this, and you identify it through your skillful detective work, and then you initiate a program to rescue them or at least help them learn to trust their body.
That's it. That's
So
it.
the whole system clicks in, it goes on automatic control, and they can circumvent the habit that triggered this.
But what becomes important is that the hypocapnic symptoms become triggers for optimal respiration. So as soon as you feel an initial symptom, the system realigns itself.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's
And
just
that's
it's
learned. That's a learning thing.
yeah. And
You
you wouldn't
see?
do that if you didn't have a deep knowledge of behavioral psychology. So
Correct.
you merge those two disciplines together to provide an enormous benefit that isn't obvious or intuitive at all, and is essentially unknown by the medical profession. Unknown. There are very, very few clinicians. I personally don't know any who understand this. They're out there, but they're not many.
From my perspective, the reason I got into breathing was because this was a way to teach people about how physiology is a learning system. It's a programmable system, and we need to look at the programming when we work with people, not just at the body from an anatomical perspective. We need to look at how it's been programmed. It's like working with a computer, and you don't pay any attention to the software. You just work with the motherboard and all the other components, but you never look at the operating system and the software programs that are on there. So the idea is that's how why I got into breathing, because it was such a popular thing and it really is relevant to all of us. And that was a way to try to get the word out about the whole subject of behavioral physiology.
Yeah.
Is that physiology is a programmable learning intelligent system.
Yeah. You've done a masterful job of focusing that awareness onto breathing, which is crucial for all of us. Without it, we'd be dead. So very few people watching this will be able to connect with you personally. But you've trained a lot of clinicians who essentially know this work really well and can help people. And most of this work can be done virtually. So you don't have to travel far to different cities.
All of it can be done virtually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So the way that process works, you identify a clinician you want to work with, and there's plenty of them out there. And they can, you don't have to, but usually you rent to the capnometer so that, and you fill out the paperwork. I didn't do this because I didn't perceive I had a problem. I just got the capnometer and took your training course and learned it myself. But so, and I had access to you, so I had an unfair advantage. Yeah, so, but essentially, it's available. This process, this intervention, this behavioral psychology intervention to correct that dysfunctional breathing is available. It does exist, which is very exciting. And it's not inconvenient to implement. And it's a pretty simple process. So
can I mention one of those techniques?
I mentioned one season. We're getting close to the time we have to leave.
One technique is very simple. It's called negative practice.
Oh, yes.
And what you do is you become an expert at performing the bad habit. Mm-hmm. So you're not a victim of the bad habit. You own it. You take ownership of it because you can do it whenever you want to. And if you can do it whenever you want to, you can disengage it. So you learn to do it, disengage it, do it, disengage it. And there are specific ways of doing this. We use biofeedback in this whole process. That's an important part of it. And so then you're not afraid anymore of the symptoms because you can turn them on. You can turn them off. You don't really care. You know, it's not a big deal. And in that process, you get highly reinforced. Again, that's how physiology works. The outcome of what it does determines what it can do, you know, within the potential it has. And so the idea is that there's a positive outcome for restoring a good respiration. On the other hand, it can be much more challenging because if someone is like over breathing to get angry at their husband, I mean, this is a more complex issue.
Yeah.
You have to address that. So it can be very simple or it can be quite complex. But nevertheless, this negative practice thing, it works wonders for people.
Yeah, it's
public
a core,
speaking or whatever it is. It's just fantastic.
It's the core of the program. So how about you run through the process of identifying if someone's interested in doing this work, as I suspect many people will be, because almost everyone watching it has some type of breathing dysfunction. Now, maybe it's not significant where they need this type of intervention, but most people would benefit. So how do they find someone who's skilled with this?
Okay, well, training? What I recommend is you go to the following website, and then this website is connected to many people who provide breathing behavior analysis services, and that is very simple. It's CAPNO Learning, carbon dioxide learning, capnolearning.org.
Ooh, that, remember that org, don't put .com, org,
right,
O-R-G.
.com, you'll end up someplace else if you put .com. That's linked to something else going on, but that's .org is really important. If you're interested in getting a book about what we call CAPNO learning, which is really bringing behavioral science, physiology, and technology together, there's also a book you can order. There's a journal called the Breathing Science Journal, and you can go there. It's a nonprofit organization, so if you buy the book, it's a contribution to the nonprofit. And it is the website is www.thebsj, Breathing Science Journal. So www.thebsj.org. Okay, and then if you're interested in professional training. You want to get, you know, you're a healthcare person and you really like to get involved in this work. What I'd suggest, if you're interested in that, is get the book first and, you know, kind of confirm that this is really what you'd like to do, to be sure. Or maybe even get an instrument with it if you're going to be doing that. But if, when you're ready for a professional training, you can go to www.bp.edu. And there you can go for we have a professional certificate in the science of breathing behavior analysis. We have certification as a breathing behavior analyst. And we have a diploma program in breathing science, professional diploma program. Again, that's for healthcare providers or people who've had a lot of training. It might be in athletics, it might be in performance training, not just healthcare. And then lastly, if you're interested in an instrument and what that's about, you can go to their site, which is www.betterphysiology.com. And there you can learn all about the instrument and what the differences are between the different options there are there, if you're interested.
Yeah, for most people, there's essentially, just to cut through the confusion on the different options, it's pretty much all the same unit. All the different options have that same device you showed earlier, the sensor. But the only difference really is a software package. So one... Right. Base program just connects to your cell phone and nothing else. Then there's another one that would connect to your computer. And then one that allows you to, what's it?
The professional. Professional one?
No. There's two versions of the other one. Once
well,
the computer
you have the personal.
Multi-user.
So, yeah, multi-user option.
Yeah. So you can only, if you're only going to use it for yourself, then that's all you need. If you're going to use anyone else, then you need to put get that option. So anyway, it's pretty straightforward. I love the software. I love the concept. I love the idea that you've put this all together and provided a very, very helpful intervention that literally is so less expensive and virtually no risk, no damage. You can't hurt people with this and solve so many of the problems. I mean, it could have been 10, 20, 30% of the people I was seeing. And I never knew it. And these are the cases that you just don't know what's going on, you never figured it out.
And you think of the cost, just think of what the cost has been for symptoms that you've been having for years and years and never had a solution to. I mean, it's just amazing to me. I mean, I honestly still find it difficult to believe those statistics that I present in various places could possibly be true. It just boggles my mind. How can that be true?
Yeah, so... I applaud your efforts to listen to your body, to follow your passion, and develop this extraordinary intervention that can help so many people. So good work. You're helping a lot of people.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for watching. Remember, hit the like and subscribe button so you can get more videos that can help you and your family take control of your health.